to arrive. There was no small amount of doubt and fear growing in the woman over the last few months, and so her heart truly warmed now at this sight. For here he was, Regis, reclining on the banks of Mare de Walden, a fishing line tied to his toe. How many times had Catti Bree witnessed this scene in the years before the spell plague? She wanted to rush down and wrap him in a great hug, but she held herself back. She had come too far to rush headlong to Regis, at least until she had learned more about how he had come here and what he had brought with him, inadvertently or otherwise. For in the back of Catti Bree's mind lay her own troubles. She knew that Lady Avelier had not given up the hunt for her, even though nearly 2 years had passed since she had fled the Ivy Mansion, a magical ride that seemed to have put Avelier off the trail. Catti Bree did not underestimate the lady's stubbornness. Avelier knew that she was alive, that she had faked her death in Shade Enclave, and that she had traveled to the far west. Perhaps Avelier even knew of Catti Bree's ultimate destination, Icewind Dale. Catti Bree could not be sure, since she couldn't be sure of how much she had actually divulged to Avelier when under the hypnotic dwyamers of the powerful diviner. It could well be that Lady Avelier and her allies were somewhere within Icewind Dale, perhaps even in one of the towns, lying in wait. If that was so, and Catti Bree was caught, then what a wretched friend she would be, to both Regis and Drizzt, to have Regis dragged away beside her. So she took her joy in seeing him from afar. She moved back into the forest, not far from his house, and there constructed a shrine to Mialiki, a private garden sheltered from the coming winter, and that she meant to tend throughout the next season, until the night of the spring equinox. The woman nodded at her choice. She would watch over Regis closely, but in secret.
"Boisterous bunch,"
Darby Snide said to Catti Bree, when she moved up to the bar in his tavern in Bremen a 10 day later. He was a big man with huge hands and gigantic sideburns that rode all the way down his jawline, just short of connecting at his chin. Catti Bree looked around, and indeed Knuckleheader, the tavern, was full this night, and with a raucous crowd, particularly one loud group across the way by the front window. Catti Bree had heard their catcalls when she entered, moving right past them.
"Is that why you sent for me?" she asked. "Or are your larders thin for so many?"
"Could use some food, Miss Curti, if you've the spell to conjure any,"
Darby admitted, and Catti Bree nodded. She had spent her first 10 days in Icewind Dale right here in Bremen, and had taken a room in this very inn, bartering for room and board in trade for her magical dwyamers. She conjured food, healed the minor wounds of patrons, even cured a few diseases. All compliments of the Knuckleheader, and in exchange, Darby had treated her quite well. Indeed, Catti Bree, under the name once more of Delly Curti, had similar arrangements with a tavern in Bryn Shander, and with Stokely's dwarves under the mountain, and lesser relationships with innkeepers in all of the towns.
"They look like a Luskar crew," Catti Bree remarked.
"Shibrethnor say the whispers,"
Darby agreed. Catti Bree nodded.
"So why are you calling for me? Are you expecting a fight, and hoping to sell out some healing spells?"
A surprised Darby turned fast on her to see her wide grin, and he let out a burst of hearty laughter.
"No, lassie," he replied. "I thought you might like to know that they've been asking about a friend of yours."
Catti Bree's grin disappeared.
"A friend?"
"The little halfling friend you've been looking for, and found, so say the whispers in Lonelywood."
Catti Bree stared at him incredulously, then realized that she shouldn't be surprised her search for Regis would take her to Lonelywood.
"They know of him?" she asked.
Darby shrugged.
"I didn't tell them, surely, but the little one's easy to point out with his dress and manners from what I've been hearing. My guess is that they'll find him soon enough, might be friends of his."
Catti Bree studied the group of ruffians, and found that she could not come to that conclusion.
"Be aware, Regis,"
came a voice out of nowhere, and the halfling, reclining on the bank of the lake, opened wide a sleepy eye. He almost jumped up, but the mention of his real name gave him pause, as did the tone of the whisper and a strange familiarity with the voice itself.
"I am here, beside you," came another whisper. "Four from Ship Rethnor are in the wood seeking you." "Catty?"
the halfling whispered back, suddenly catching on. Regis couldn't draw breath and couldn't begin to sort out the words, for what did they even matter to him in that glorious moment? This was Catty Bree, he knew it. She had survived the years, their crazy plan to meet up on Kelvin's cairn, one that had seemed incredible to Regis now that he had actually managed to return to Icewind Dale, might actually come to pass. But here she was, after 21 years, standing beside him. Invisibly?
"I will tell you when they near,"
she replied, bringing Regis back to the matter at hand.
"Feign your nap and draw them in."
Regis shifted just a bit, moving his hand near to the crossbow handle in front of his right hip, and better angling himself for a quick leap and turn. That thought had him glancing down nervously at his one bare foot, though, and at the fishing line tied around his toe. He felt a hand on that foot then, and nearly jumped in surprise as his invisible friend carefully removed the line.
"They're at the tree line,"
Catty Bree quietly informed him,
coming forward cautiously.
"Good to see you,"
Regis quietly greeted, wearing a sarcastic smile, for, of course, he could not see the woman at all. Catty Bree began a soft chant, and Regis felt warmth flowing through him. He put a hand to his rapier hilt as she began a second spell, and now felt his grip intensify, as if she had loaned him the physical strength of her goddess. She was magically preparing him for battle, he understood, covering him with wards and magical energy. He wore a grin, but it didn't last. "A bow!" Catty Bree cried suddenly. Up leaped the halfling, spinning around and drawing his hand crossbow as he went. As the invisible woman had informed him, four attackers came at him, three men brandishing swords, and a woman standing back with her bow leveled his way. He heard Catty Bree chanting the words of another spell. He lifted his hand to fire, but saw the arrow speeding his way. It hit something, some magical shield perhaps, and flashed and deflected, but not harmlessly, diving down and driving hard into Regis's thigh. He yelped and fired wildly, and none of the three men charging at him slowed. The wounded halfling stubbornly fought to hold his balance and drew his blades, grimacing through the pain as the arrow quivered, stuck fast into his leg. But not deeply, he realized, and he could put weight on that foot, and surely he'd need to. In charged the three ruffians, barely 5 strides away. Regis sent his thoughts into his prism ring as he tried to figure the best angle for his